The UFC settles a class action lawsuit. We're previewing UFC Vegas Rivas versus Namajunas. And Tybura submits to Tuivasa. AJ called it. And he will take credit.
Of course. Let's go.
Let's go!
AJ about to take credit like he gave Tybura his black belt in jujitsu. Whoa. I thought we had Fred. He said, start the countdown. I'll be right back. And then he's not there.
Fred is down again, man.
What happened to Fred?
Fred is gone, dude.
All right.
He's gone.
I think he'll be back at some point.
The show. Listen, what were you saying? Were you saying something about Tybura last week? I didn't hear. I was like drinking. I missed what you said.
Tybura tapped out to Tuivasa last week, and we do have Fred back, so everything's good. Fred goes, start the countdown. I'll be right back. And then we start the show, and it's an empty chair. He's back. How you doing, Fred?
Great. You?
Yeah, man. Living the dream. We got a big weekend ahead of us. We've got the big trifecta jiu-jitsu event that we'll talk about. Ooh. I'm sure that we're all going to tomorrow. We're very excited to have a night out on the town watching some jiu-jitsu here with the boys. We've got UFC Vegas, Rose Namajunas, Thug Rose in action this weekend, taking on Amanda Ribas. And, of course, some news about the UFC settling a big lawsuit and what that might mean. And then some news about Francis Ngannou that we can talk about as well tonight on the program. It's Ringside Report MMA here every Thursday night. Angelo knows. Good evening, Angelo Contagonis, member of the team over at join.ringsidereport.net. Thank you to all the members supporting the channel, keeping us going here on a Thursday night here, every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern time. And guys, what did you say, AJ?
No, somebody wrote the OJ, and I said, yeah, it's OJ, all right. But it's the Italian version, very special. Sorry to interrupt.
Orange juice you're talking about. I thought you were saying you were the Italian OJ, and I was like, that's not something you want to be. What are you talking about?
If the glove don't fit,
yes,
serve the lasagna.
Johnny says Ronda Rousey made big news. Yes, Ronda Rousey definitely did make big news this week, talking a lot about the WWE. There's a lot of WWE news she made.
SmackDown.
Said some pretty negative things about the people in charge at WWE, including John Laurinaitis, Vince McMahon, and Bruce Pritchard, who's still employed by the WWE somehow. Which is interesting.
It's crazy. A lot of shit talk this week, man, from Ronda.
Speaking of AJ, you were saying last week that Fred had COVID. Fred did not have COVID, right, Fred? Fred?
Sorry, I had some audio issue.
Repeat, no, please. COVID effect, man. I told you. There you go.
Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Last week you weren't on the show and AJ said you had COVID. And Johnny is asking if you still have COVID or are you okay? But I don't think you ever had COVID.
No, I never had COVID. I had it the first year in like 2020. And ever since then, I haven't had it.
Yeah. So, you know, AJ was just talking trash. Just talking trash.
The symptoms, man. It was the symptoms. It's going around, man. There's like 20 different viruses, like I told you.
I mean, if COVID is a synonym for the flu, yeah, I guess we had COVID.
Okay. But you're doing better?
Yeah.
He's looking good. Look at this guy. He looks so handsome. Look at him. The smile. He's good, man.
Sharp.
I'm not sure what happened, man, because I went away. Before the show started, AJ told me, is everything all right? I said, yeah. But now your mic kind of sounds like a little weird, AJ. Or maybe it's me, man, but.
No, and I think you're right.
That's what I said to Dave. I said,
not sure what happened because it sounded good before.
It must be the master controls.
That's you, AJ. It's definitely you not knowing how to work your things.
Man, everything
again.
Was perfect last week, and Freddie said everything was a go. How does it sound? Does it sound like a tomb?
It doesn't
sound okay.
It doesn't sound great. Amazing. It doesn't sound as good as I sound or Fred sounds. Fred and I sound good, and you sound not that good. And it would be nice if you sounded.
Shut up.
It would be nice if you sounded good. It would be nice if you had good audio like Fred and I, instead of poor audio quality like you currently have.
At least with the new camera, it's looking better. That's for sure. The new lights. Mm-hmm. So just got to work on the mic now.
Yep, you're almost there.
I thought it was good.
One step at a time, brother. One step at a time.
That's it, man. One step. Baby steps, dude. Baby steps.
With AJ, we got to do baby steps. And AJ, we do have to talk about last weekend where Marcin Tybura tapped out Ty Tuivasa, which you then put a post on our Ringside Report Instagram. AJ called it. The Tybura submits Tuivasa. AJ called it. We both said that that was going to happen, AJ. I said it too.
No, you didn't say he was going to win by submission.
Yeah, I did.
I said.
No, I said. Oh, man.
Don't take my credit.
Matt, I said Tybura was going to win, and he was going to, like, take him down and out-grapple him and beat him that way. What do you think that means?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I said, listen, man, I broke it down. I said that if Tybura could take him down, he's probably, and most probably, going to submit him. And I said, you know, the matter of win is going to be by submission. And you know what? It was exactly.
Throwing a parade for yourself over there, AJ. Throwing a parade for yourself, acting like you did something last weekend. It was amazing, the post I saw. I was like, what is this? AJ called it. What a victory.
Yeah, I was on the board with PR Mark right away, man.
You're pretty heavy. He's a pretty heavy favorite, too, to win. It wasn't like a big shock. Or maybe, no, it was kind of close, which I didn't really get. Yeah, Tybura seemed like the clear pick in that fight. Tuivasa.
No, Shui, man.
Tuivasa, I think something happened with him where he got famous. He got more famous than good, and he got to a point where he was like, fighting guys that were really good, and he was really famous, and he won a couple. Like, he just kind of got to this weird spot, and it fell apart.
I mean, when you're a heavyweight and you hit hard, you know, you're always dangerous. So I forget who he defeated, but he got a couple of knockouts. I remember that put him on that put him on the radar, where people were like, "Oh yeah, Tuivasa's a player in the division," but I mean, honestly, he was always just like a big hitter, and in the heavyweight division, that can work up to a point, but I don't think he could make a career out of it.
Honestly, if you look at the Tuivasa career, okay, and I'm just being fair, like, he had wins over Arlovsky early in his career in, like, 2018, and then he fought Junior Dos Santos and got knocked out by Junior Dos Santos in 2018. And then he lost to Blagoy and Sergey Spivak. And then he knocked out Stefan Struve, knocked out Harry Hunsucker, knocked out Greg Hardy. And that made him a little famous, you know, because he knocked out Greg Hardy, then knocked out Augusto Sakai, and then he knocked out Derek Lewis. So he was on a string of knockout wins, including wins over Greg Hardy and Derek Lewis. But we're talking about Derek Lewis, who, you know, was not peak Derek Lewis at that point in time in 2022. And then Tuivasa ran into Ciryl Gane, Sergey Pavlovich, Alexander Volkov, and now Marcin Tybura, and he finds himself in a 4-fight losing streak. It's like, it's tough because he's only 31. He hits hard, but at this point, he's undergone so much punishment. It seems like he's just gonna really struggle to find another win in the UFC right now. It's weird.
He'll be able to win some fights, I think, if you put some lower competition against him. But I think once you get to the upper echelon of the division, and I mean pretty much anybody in the top 10, they'll be able to game plan for a Tuivasa. You know, like he's a big puncher. So you stay away from his big punch and you try to capitalize on that.
Four fights in a row, though, Fred. That's not good. That's not good. And did you see the fight with Tibura? Like, Tibura is not, you know, Ciryl Gane or, you know, even who are the other guys that he just lost to, right? Like, Tibura is kind of lower.
Volkov.
You know, Volkov, Pavlovich. Like, Tibura is not fighting for a championship. Tibura is all right. He's pretty good, you know, but he's not, like, one of the top five heavyweights in the world right now. And Tibura just finished him in one round, you know, and like took him down, just flattened him out, rear naked choke. It was really not, it didn't look like Tuivasa really had much fight in him past trying to throw some heavy bombs in the first round and land that shot. But that's not, it's not going to work.
But again, if we look at his history, look at who he defeated, there's nothing really impressive. You know, Andrei Arlovsky was pretty much like on a bad, I don't know exactly where he was in his career back then in 2018, but he had a bad stretch. So Andrei, that's not champion Andrei Arlovsky. Stefan Struve was probably close to retirement. Greg Hardy never was a real fighter. And Derek Lewis, I mean, he's a power puncher also, so Tuivasa, you know, he could win the battle of the power punchers, but he's not a very technical fighter. Like, I wouldn't put him as him having any impact on the division in the future.
Yeah. Unless he turns things around. Like I said, he's only 31 years old, and that division, you got a longer shelf life than most divisions in MMA, right? Like, you could fight well past 35 as a heavyweight and still have success. So I think, you know, there's a possibility that he turns things around, but he really needs to do it in a hurry because four fights in a row is not good for Tai Tuivasa. And of course, AJ called it. Marcin Tybura by submission. What an impressive call by AJ. You did it again, AJ. You're a genius.
I did it again, man. Oops. I did it again. Listen. I'm going to say, listen, I was impressed. At 38 years old, man, he fought well. He, like, he really had that control of the jiu-jitsu game. And, you know, he's there. And I think Shufi, man, it's going to be hard, man. You know? He couldn't be released.
I don't know. Like, he's become a personality in MMA. You know, he's kind of become a big star. And
yeah,
you got to put those guys.
He's more of a star.
Well, that's it.
More of a star when you're actually winning and doing the whole shoe thing. People love it when he drinks out of the shoe. But now he's drinking the shoe out of the stands, man, when he's watching fights. It's not the same. Oh, you know what I'm saying? This guy has to be relevant because of his stick, but he has to win. So when he loses, he doesn't pull it off. So, you know, that's the thing with the UFC. You're just as good as you are until the fans decide to look the other way. And look, it was a bad fight the way he lost. It didn't look good. If he was able to fight it for like three rounds and come out with a decision loss, it's still not as bad. But the way he got submitted, man, it didn't look good. It doesn't look good.
Yeah, the fight did not look good. And it was just not. The fight from Tuivasa was just like, oh, does he want to be there anymore? You know, that was the vibe I got from the fight. I was like, oh, man, maybe he doesn't want to do this anymore. It just didn't seem like he was just there to be there because he had to be there. So yeah. I didn't
like it's like he gave up.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't like the look from Tuivasa on Saturday. It didn't give me confidence in his future. So it's disappointing. I hope he's all right. I hope he does well. Hope he turns it around.
Well, man.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough.
It might have. It's going to be one, AJ. Like, they're still up. Like I said, it's a lot
for
time,
him,
man.
He's young. He's still. Yeah, he does. But you know what? You know, he's gonna be one of those fight night guys, you know? Maybe those, you know, Facebook fights or whatever you want to call it, man. That's where I can see him going towards next, you know?
Yeah.
That's about it. He's gonna be the prelim on the fight nights. And the prelims on the
Facebook fights. Pre fights haven't been on Facebook for so long.
Yeah.
It's like 7-8 years ago.
I know what he meant.
It's like it's like 300. If you look at the prelims, man, they're amazing, man. You know, you want to go on Facebook to watch them.
There's no prelims. It's just called prelims.
Yeah, but there's some pre-fights. Isn't there two pre-fights, apparently? If I'm not mistaken.
Pre-fights?
Yeah, there's pre-fights.
What does that mean? It's a prelim and then the main card. There's early prelims.
There's the prelims on FX or on ESPN or whatever.
Fight Pass prelims.
Facebook,
yeah.
Fight Pass.
Yeah, but those are still just called prelims. How come there's no just limbs? We got so many prelims and then the main card is not called the limbs. I think it should be called the limbs. There's all prelims. Like, where's the limbs? I don't get it. I guess the limbs are like in the cage, you know, they're trying to break the limbs and kicking with the limbs and punching with the limbs. Different kind of limbs, though.
Sometimes they've been
limbs, L-I-M-B-S, not L-I-M-S. You know what I'm saying? Anyways.
Well, that all ties into like that poster, like I was telling you, like the 300 poster. And like, there's a lot of people, man, that are, you know, have a lot of say into the prelims, the limbs, and even the 300 poster. I mean, you know,
which poster? I don't even know what poster you're talking about.
Well, Freddie, you know about this, the whole controversy with the poster for 300. That's
no one knows
that's how like there. You don't know about this. So there's a lot of controversy where people are like, for 300, they should have had a better poster, and it sucks. And it has no oomph. It has nothing on there. And, you know, some people are saying like the UFC should have put a little bit more like oomph, you know, into the poster, being that it's 300. And if you look at all the hundreds, 200 and 100 posters, man, like you can see who the fighters were. And that was really the showcase to building up the pay-per-view. But,
the poster kind of like, sucks.
Listen, man,
it does suck. Okay, yeah. I get it.
So this is what the controversy is right now. Like, what?
But is that really a controversy? Can we just say somebody failed at their job? Dana, fire somebody.
Well, yeah, this poster is not great. If this is the UFC 300 poster, it's not great. I get it.
That's what it is, guys. And what I'm saying is there's a lot of channels before it actually gets published, right? So, like, there's not only one guy. I mean, there's channels. Maybe they have a reason behind it. The only thing I could think of is like, what, maybe 300, the movie Spartans and whatnot, you know, but it kind of looks like that 3 is like a very, like, I don't know, like antique 3. I don't know, man. You know, it kind of looks like the McDonald's site to me. If you turn
looks
it
like
side,
tape,
you know,
it looks like they use tape to do the numbers.
It sucks. It's just whack. It's just not. It just says UFC 300. It's got nothing on it. It's bland.
That's what I'm saying, man. It's gold and white. You know, looks like Fred says.
So Dave, for fun, show us UFC 200 and 100 poster. Let's just see what he did.
And that's the thing, man. They put effort into the 200.
Wow. Yeah, that's much better.
Look how nice that is.
Yeah.
That was it. That's a passing grade.
UFC 100 poster, brother. Look at that. That's money.
An all-star lineup.
That's a line of brother.
Thiago Alves is fighting Mike Perry in bare knuckle.
Ooh.
I think Mike Perry's going to have a harder fight than he thought. You know, I love Mike Perry, but Thiago looks straight. Dave, I was just about to say, just for the hell of it, you need to show UFC 1 where it all started, just to see the beginning of that first poster, which I loved. UFC 1, man.
Why are you guys just demanding I Google posters now? Is this the show? Hey, Dave, let's see the poster for...
Let's see that Korean picture for the Dodgers, Dave. Now we're talking. But... Thanks to Freddy. Look at that. Wow. Doesn't that look good, man?
The Ultimate Fighting Championship.
This is where it all started, man.
Anything goes. No holds barred. People will get punched in the dick.
Hair will be pulled.
Hair will be pulled.
Their teeth will be lost.
Yes. Sumo guy will show up and have no idea what he signed up for.
Once the cage closes, one man, two men go in, one man comes out.
Yeah, but probably the guys come out.
It won't be just one fight. There will be many fights in one night. Which will be weight classes? No. 300 pounds versus 130 pounds. Jiu-jitsu fighters, wrestlers, boxers, kung fu, karate. And the man who came out, one, two, technically three, four. That's right. Royce Gracie, man. At 100 and I think he was, what, 140?
I don't know. Stop giving us the history of the UFC. Like, Fred and I have both checked out, and I think everybody else is checking out too, AJ. Like, we're not even listening to you at this point. Fred, did you listen to anything he just said in the past 30 seconds? I tuned out. Did you hear it? Seriously, or is that just me? Did I just tune out from AJ, or was you did too? I think everybody did, AJ. It's not good. We can't let you go on and on about Royce Gracie. He was, no one knew he could do it, but he did it. What a
Well, he Sorry. Did, man. You're going to 300. You got to have some history, Dave. And you got to remember, number one, Royce Gracie.
What have you done for me lately, man?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Michael Pereira. Not Michael, Alex. Sorry. Wrong Pereira.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's good too, Michael.
Alex Pereira is going to be main eventing UFC 300 against Jamahal Hill. And I read today that he hopes to have a quick victory turnaround and fight at UFC 301 in Brazil, which is crazy.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah. Interesting. You see what the UFC 301 main event is right now?
Yeah, it's awful. Like,
yeah. So everybody knows, it's Alexander Pantoja, the current flyweight champion, versus Steve Urseg, who's had three fights in the UFC. He's 12-1, like, he's good, but he's had three fights in the UFC, and he's getting the title shot, and that's the main event. And all I can see for the co-main event is Jonathan Martinez versus Jose Aldo, who I thought retired.
He's coming back. Yeah, but he's coming back. He announced it this week. And I also read today that Costa's facing Cannonier on that card.
I don't see that on my Wikipedia page, Fred, but maybe it's happening.
It might not be official, but I think I saw that was in the works.
Okay. Yeah, they need a main event for that card, right? They need something. Because
they stacked up 300, man. Like, people are complaining that 300 ain't that great or whatever. 300 is fucking great, man. Yeah. And that's what happens when you put that many stars. And the last couple of shows have been good also. Like, the O'Malley card was good. Mm-hmm. The Volkanovski card, I remember, was decent also. So, like, you fill up all these cards, you're gonna become thin at some point. And 301 looks a little thin, but it is what it is, man. When like Dana, let's be honest, when he goes overseas, when he comes to Canada, often some of these cars are pretty thin lately that he brought to Canada. And Brazil, I guess it's the same thing, you know? He banks on a couple of local guys, and it's going to be a sellout.
It looks fantastic, UFC 300. I don't know who's complaining about this card. Like, top to bottom, from the prelims to the prelims to the limbs, all good on this.
A lot of meat, man. There's a lot of meat on this card. A
lot of meat, brother. Let me tell you about some meat. We've got some UFC card fights going on this weekend in Las Vegas. UFC Vegas, Nama Yunus versus Rivas. Amanda Ribas coming in here against Rose Namajunas in the main event at 125 pounds. Both of these fighters have bounced up and down from 115 to 125. This one at flyweight. Rose, a former champion, of course, at strawweight. Now at flyweight, is actually 0-1 since moving up because she fought Manon Fiorot in her last fight and lost a unanimous decision. Thug Rose, though, coming in as the favorite for this fight, as Amanda Ribas has also kind of gone up and down in wins and losses, not just in weight classes. She's coming off a win over Luana Pinheiro, but before that, a TKO loss to Macy Barber. And it doesn't seem clear where Amanda Ribas is best. She's won some strawweight fights, but lost some. Won some flyweight fights, but lost some. It's like not clear that she's better in one division or not. So far in the UFC, she's got a, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 wins and 3 loss record. A solid record, but she's kind of, you know, climbed up in competition and hit some roadblocks. Won her first 3 in the UFC, got a fight. Won her first 3 in the UFC, including wins over Mackenzie Dern, AJ. Mackenzie Dern.
Yep.
And Paige VanZant. She beat Mackenzie Dern at Paige VanZant, but then she walked into Marina Rodriguez, who beat her by TKO. Then she beat Verna Jandiroba, but then she lost a close decision to Caitlin Jukagian. Then she beat Viviana Araújo, but then she lost the TKO to Macy Barber, and now she's coming off a win over Luana Pinheiro, and I feel like she's going to fall to Rose Namajunas here. It's a 5-round main event. I like Thug Rose. I'll give you the odds here in a second as soon as I find them. Rose Namajunas -220, Amanda Ribas +180 right now. Which makes a lot of sense to me. Freddie, what do you
think? Yeah, but she won. She got to
the fight. AJ, hang on. Hang on, AJ. Hang on. Freddie. I talked to Freddie. I was talking to Fred. Sorry.
I mean, I think Rose should win, but she's on a 2-fight losing streak. And I feel she hasn't been that active. Like, if you look at Rose's career, there's some ups and downs. You know, sometimes she's been champ a couple of times, so she's at the very top. But there's been also a couple of downs. So, and right now she's in a down. I think she should win against Amanda Ribas. I'm going to pick her. She's also on my parlay. I'll give you the rest of my parlay later. But, I got Rose, and I think she might finish her. Like, it's going to be a tough fight. But I'll go Rose by TKO, probably.
AJ?
Look, man, like I was trying to say, is that you look at Ribas on her last fight, she got performance of the night, you know? She was dominant in that fight, so she's coming off a win. The thing with Rose is that she hasn't won yet at 125. She lost by unanimous decision to Manon Fiorot, which I called because Mano is the future. But when you have somebody like Rose, who is basically like a striking, you know, that's her game. Her style is MMA. Her striking game is what made her a champion. But she couldn't get like even a round on Mano. I just think that, you know, everybody has their time, you know, and we always talk about the men's division. And I think the women's is there as well. And I think Rose's time is, in my opinion, you know, she's fluctuating through like weight classes. That's not a good sign. Look, I think Ribas, you know, as a judo, practitioner, jiu-jitsu black belt, you know, I think if this gets to the ground, even though Rose is really good on the ground, she doesn't have the same statistics as Ribas. I think Ribas is going to probably win it. It'll probably be a decision win. I'm going the other way, guys.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it. I know what you're saying. But I look at Thug Rose as somebody who was the champion who had big wins over Joanna Jędrzejczyk, over Zhang Wei Li, 2 wins over Zhang Wei Li, the current strawweight champion. Rose beat her twice and then lost a split decision to Carla Esparza in a really weird fight that she felt like she won, and then she lost her championship, and then took some time off, decided to move up to flyweight, and I think she moved up to flyweight because the weight to the cut to 115 was just too taxing, and as you get older, it's harder to cut that much weight. 125 made sense, and she ran into the number one contender in Manon Fiorot in her first fight at flyweight, and she lost a decision, a three-round decision in France, like in Paris, where Manon is from, right? So that helps too. So I think Rose, you know, she had a couple of tough breaks in her last couple of fights, but I still believe in her as a fighter. And at 31 years old, I still think that she is in her prime as a mixed martial artist. And I think in MMA, she's just a more well-rounded MMA fighter and has faced higher level competition and succeeded against higher level competition than Amanda Ribas. Not to say that Ribas couldn't squeak out a close decision victory. I've been wrong before, but I just think that the play is Thug Rose this Saturday. I think she's going to win the fight. And I know, AJ, you're making all sorts of faces at me, and that's fine. I mean, you're taking Ribas, and I get it, but I'm going with Rose.
Listen, and there's no reason not to in some sense. She's a two-time champion, man. She had everything going for her. But when you look at her wear and tear, she's been around since 2014, man, and in the Ultimate Fighter 20. And, you know, ever since she got that neck injury, when she was thrown on her head, she hasn't been the same fighter, man. There's something, you know, something broke. I just find that her going into this weight category, you know, is going to be tough. And and we saw that with Manon. And, you know, we'll see what she can do on Saturday night. But I think it's going to be a Ribas victory. You know, she got performance of the night on her last fight, man. She's looking good.
Okay.
And she defeated some pretty, like, you know, interesting people, man. She got Mackenzie Dern, you know, which I thought was going to be, like, you know, a total grappling fest. But, like, she can change it up, you know. And her judo skills, man, are going to be really effective. The only thing that Rose has is that she's got those leg kicks. If she's able to control the leg game, she'll win. But if she's not able to control that leg game, even though she has a longer reach, I mean, you know, she has to use it. If she doesn't and Ribas gets in, she's going to get her down with some judo throws and take top mount and really take advantage on the ground. If it's on a ground and pound, it's going to be, you know, a long fight. And I think she could win it by decision. But, you know,
yeah.
When you look at striking accuracy, you think it would be Rose, but it's actually Ribas. Ribas has the edge over her on striking accuracy, you know?
Yeah, but it doesn't mean she's going to be able to land the punches necessary against Rose. I think Rose outboxes her. I think Rose has better footwork. I think Rose will move around and land shots. And I'm not sure, like Fred said, TKO, I'm not sure she'll land enough shots to put Ribas away, but I think she'll land enough shots to win rounds. And I think Rose, like if I were to bet on the outcome, I'd go Rose by decision, but I could see her putting Ribas away if she lands enough of an accumulation of shots where Ribas just can't take anymore. But I think it's going to be mostly a stand-up fight. And, you know, you talk about the judo throws and all that. Like, Rose has some pretty good takedown defense. You know, she's pretty good, and she's good off her back. Even if you do take her down, she's got really good butterfly guard to just kind of get back to her feet. She moves really well off of her back. I don't know.
Yeah, but
I don't think Ribas is going to be able to hold Rose down for a long period of this fight. I might be wrong. We'll see. See what happens.
Listen, man,
the strength advantage might be in Ribas' favor. We'll see.
But when you look at the stats, you look at like the takedown accuracy, you got like Ribas at 51% and Rose at 48%. Now, at the takedown defense, Ribas is at 87% while Rose is at 60%. So, you know,
but Rose is going to want to strike.
Yeah, she's not
going to take Rose's
her down.
Yeah, exactly.
But the striking accuracy goes to Ribas's. The only difference is that the higher finish rate is going to Rose, where she's like, she has a 67% finish rate to Ribas at 58.
Man, Frankie, I hate these numbers you're giving me because they don't mean anything to me. Like, I don't, like, whatever. It's, like, some of them, like, some of them mean something, AJ, but I'm telling you, like, who is Hibas doing this against? If you fight a bunch of jabronis and you have 100% striking accuracy against somebody who's fighting world championship level fighters and having 60% striking accuracy, I don't really care about the numbers. Like, Amanda Hibas never fought Zhang Wei Li.
True.
What world champion did Amanda Hibas fight? What world champion? What world championship fights was Amanda Hibas ever in? You got to look at the numbers and kind of qualify them with, well, you know, Rose fought some pretty tough opponents and Hibas fought some good fighters, but she was not in world championship fights. She did not beat the current strawweight world champion. She just didn't. Rose did twice.
And she lost. And I'm looking at her record. She lost most of her tough fights. She lost to Macy Barber. She lost to Caitlin Chukugian. I mean, like, she beat Luana Pinheiro and Vivian Herujo. So,
yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't think those two are at the level of Rose.
She's beat Randa Marcos. She's beat McKenzie.
Yeah, Paige VanZant. I mean,
VanZant. Paige VanZant.
At the time.
Well, at the time. Sure. No.
Paige's last
fight before going to OnlyFans, dude. She was halfway, like, naked on the internet by the time she was fighting there. She was not seriously fighting. She knew what she was doing. She was in the UFC to promote the brand. It was like...
You're right.
And no offense, but Mackenzie Dern, when she defeated Mackenzie Dern, Mackenzie Dern was, like, very basic, like, fighter. Like, she's evolved in the last 4 or 5 years. But in 2019, you know, it doesn't mean that much.
Yeah. Come on, AJ.
Listen, numbers count, Angelo. Numbers count.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
Stats make a difference in the end.
They don't count, AJ. Not when you're fighting against a nobody. Like, if you fight, if you go roll with 10 white belts, okay, and you tap them all, you get 100% finish rate. I go, AJ, well, how did jiu-jitsu go? You go, great. I got 100% finish rate. I tapped everybody and nobody even came. I'd be like, wow, well, that's good, AJ. Well, who'd you roll with? Oh, a bunch of white belts. It was the first day in jiu-jitsu. I'm like, well, that's not very impressive. Your numbers are skewed. They don't actually mean anything, AJ.
Listen,
this is what maybe now you understand what I'm saying with Thug Bros and Hibas' numbers.
Listen, I'm going to tell you on Saturday night when she gets taken down with a 60% takedown like defense. 60% again, going up against Rebus, high-level judo player, high-level black belt jiu-jitsu. That makes a difference. And it's not the same person coming into it. This is her second fight in this weight category. She's going to look great against Manon Fiorot. That 60% is the difference. So if you don't have a better like takedown defense, I'm telling you, on Saturday night, just like I called Nipporo, with those stats, she's going down. And I hate to say it, I think Rose's time, though, the flower has wilted, and it's going to be puri on Saturday.
Your flower is dead and gone. My God. Italian OJ over there. Uh-huh. All right, co-main event is Justin Taffa, who was supposed to fight a couple weeks ago, but he got hurt or something, and then his brother Junior Taffa fought, and he lost. But now Justin Taffa here is replacing his brother Junior, who's supposed to have this fight. So they just replaced the Taffa brothers one after another. It's weird. But he's fighting Carl Williams in the co-main event. And Carl Williams seems like a dangerous fellow, 9-1 from
six-fight winning streak.
From the U.S. Virgin Islands. Big, strong guy. This fight at heavyweight. Two big power punchers in the co-main event, which is kind of fun. I think this will be a fun fight. Right now, looking at the card, we have Williams -180 the favorite, Taffa +165 the underdog. Fred, you talked to me earlier about a parlay, and I'm interested in what your parlay might be. So why don't you give it to me right now? Tell me what you have.
Well, if you look at the fight order, you're very far because my parlay is the first fight of the night, Muhammad Usman, with the last fight of the night, Thug Rose. That's my parlay. But as far as the Taffa fight, I'm going to go with Carl Williams, mostly because I don't think Justin Taffa is that good. And I'll be 100% honest. I don't know who Carl Williams is, but if you tell me he's a favorite and Justin Taffa, as I say, I'm not like he's a tough guy. He puts on a show, but he's not a great fighter. So I'll pick Carl Williams. But yeah, my parlay is Thug Rose and Muhammad Usman.
Muhammad Usman, Kamaru's brother, plus 120, the underdog, taking on Michael Parkin in the first fight of the night at heavyweight, and then the main event at 125 pounds. It'll be Thug Rose Namajunas, minus 220, the favorite, over Amanda Ribas. It's a two-fight parlay from Team Freddy. 20 gets you 64 over at bet99.com. Go to bet99.ringsidereport.net and sign up with us, bet99.ringsidereport.net. Support the channel. Support the sponsors. Keep it going. There's Team Fred. I like it. I like it. It's a good little parlay. Parlaced. Should I do mine, AJ, or do you want to do yours? How do you want to do this? What do you think?
Look, go with yours because mine's going the distance. I'm going the distance on this fight night.
I don't even know what that means. You're going for speed? You're all alone?
I'm going for speed. I'm going
for time of need. What?
You want me to go? You want to go? Listen,
I can go. I have some weird picks for you.
You do?
I always have weird picks. I like that Muhammad Usman pick from Fred. Fred, why did you go with Muhammad Usman in the opening fight here? 10-2, taking on the 8-0 Englishman Mick Parkin. Why? Tell me. Give me some reasons.
Because I liked his first fight. I'll tell you that much. His first fight that he had in the UFC a while, not that long ago, he was impressive. And he's Kamaru's brother, man. Like, he's going to win, man. It's in his blood, man. Muhammad Usman.
The other guy's a much bigger guy, man. That's the difference.
I still have Muhammad.
Much bigger guy. Much younger. He's 28 years old. Muhammad, 34. Probably doing Ramadan right now. So I don't know if he's going to be, like, you know, protein ready. Just saying.
Okay.
I mean, Mick Parkin, he's 8-0. You know, he's a big boy.
Who has he fought?
That's the thing. An amateur. We don't
know. This is a tough card here. Looking at this one, it is difficult. There's a lot of guys that, you know, kind of new to the UFC. Like, I'm looking at this guy now. Peyton Talbot, who's only had a couple of fights in the UFC, he's taking on Cameron Simon, who's 9-1. Peyton Talbot 7-0. These guys, you know,
that's
kind of tough. That's a tough fight to pick right there, and the odds kind of reflect in that. Talbot minus 145, Simon plus 125. I think I'm going to follow Fred's lead a little bit and give you a two-fight parlay with Thug Rose and then an underdog from the prelims. I like where Fred is going, and that's kind of where I was thinking of going as well. And that's what I'm going to give you. It's Kurt Hollibaugh, Ultimate Fighter winner, Kurt Hollibaugh, plus 130. Huh?
I almost put him on my parlay.
Oh, really?
I think Kurt's going to win also.
Yeah, I like Kurt Hollibaugh, plus 130 as an underdog. I think he's a really solid pick to beat Trey Ogden on Saturday. And I also like Thug Rose and Namajunas in the main event. And let's see, plus 235, so 20 will get you 66.91 over at bet99.com with the Team Dave parlay, which is Hollibaugh and Thug Rose Namajunas. Hollibaugh, the dog pick, you can throw that as a solo bet. Throw a couple bucks on that. Cash in on a Saturday. AJ, what do you got for me, brother?
Well, I was just looking at Parkin and seeing his background. He's been trained by Tom Aspinall. You know, obviously he's coming from England. It's going to be an interesting one. So let me go with my picks. I'm going with Ribas to start, not to start the night, to end the night. Then I'm going to go with Carl Williams over Justin Taffa. Then I wasn't sure about this because if he loses, he's definitely out of the UFC. He came in with so much hype, you know, Mr. Armenia, you know, Edmund Shabazian. Like, we knew a lot about him. He came in with that crazy hype, and then he went 1-4 in his last five fights. The guy needs to win to keep his career. This is a do or die. You know, I think he's able to beat AJ Dobson. So I'm going to go with Edmund. He better not fuck me. Then I'm going to go with Peace and Talbot. Dave, that guy was...
I can see you. I can see you thinking about making a joke there and then deciding against it. Go ahead.
Something,
I know. Go ahead.
I have a lot more. A lot more class.
I saw you.
Listen.
I saw your face. I was like, don't. Just keep going. Go.
Smoke coming out of my ears.
So Simon and Talbot, what do you have there? Like, it's a tough one to pick.
No, it's not, actually. I think, Simon is 3-1 in the UFC. He's obviously a former teammate of Duplessis, you know, but Peyton Talbot, man, this guy has only seen one decision. This guy's 7-0 in his career. I think, I've seen that some of his highlights. I like this guy, man. You know, I like this guy. So I'm going with Peyton. Then I'm going to go with, if Billy's there, I'm going with six fights, man. I'm going the distance, I told you. They're going to go with Billy Quadratilo versus Yuzem Zalal. So basically, Yuzem Zalal was a guy that was in the UFC. They let him go, and he's coming back to the UFC to fight again. You know, look, he had a better career outside the UFC coming back to the UFC. And let's be honest, most people don't realize, you know, the UFC is the big leagues, you know.
And who doesn't realize
that? You got released and you're coming back and you're going up against Billy. Billy's like been there for a long time. He's a veteran, 23 fights over 10 years. I think Billy's going to be able to put Yusef back into those supperables.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go with Luis Pajuelo. No, listen, man. I asked you for a pick.
And you go on and on between Billy Quarantillo and Yusef Zalal. And while you're making your pick for your parlay, you talk about how most people don't realize UFC is the big leagues. And I'm like, what? You're trying to make a parlay pick? Like, get to the point, man. What are you even saying at this point? No, it isn't. To say that most people don't realize the UFC is the big leagues of MMA is an asinine comment, AJ, because... What?
It's not. Listen, you son of a bitch. Tomorrow I'm going to see you, man. There's going to be a quintet tomorrow. It's going to be me and you. And I'm telling you this.
I'm worried. I'm real worried.
The guy was out of the UFC, and he's coming back for his first fight. You know? Look, I don't think he probably did better in those
fine.
Promotions.
Cool.
But coming to the UFC, it's a different game. And going up against a guy like Billy, man.
Didn't that happen to your boy Pat Cote? It did.
But it was a different time, man.
Okay.
It was a different time.
Team AJ Parlay. It's Hibas.
Six fight.
Williams. Shabazian. Talbot. Quarantillo. Pajuelo. 20 gets you $234.90. Good luck, AJ. Six fight parlay.
How much
from AJ? 20 gets you $234.90. It's a plus. Oh, wait. What is this? No, parlay. Give me a parlay. Hold on. Whoa, no. More. Sorry. More. It's a crazy parlay. 20 gets you $953.78. Sorry.
There you go, man.
20 gets you nearly $1,000 on this six fight AJ parlay with several underdogs needing to cash in, by the way. Pajuelo. +140. Quarantillo is a favorite. Talbot's a favorite. Shabazian's a favorite. Williams is a favorite. But then Hibas, the underdog. I mean, it's all possible.
But
anything's
like
possible in MMA, brother.
Like, the guy is like a crazy knockout artist. He's 8-1 with 7 knockouts. This guy is like, that's what I'm trying to say is I would have put him on the straight bet. I really like this Luis Pajuelo.
So, Dave, if Shohei Ohtani had to bet on one of our parlays, no, not Shohei, his interpreter.
Oh, right. Shohei's not placing the bets. It's the interpreter placing the bets. Shohei's just paying off the debts. Oh, no, wait. No, Shohei's not paying off the debts. Shohei's interpreter stole the money to pay off the debts. Shohei didn't know, even though the interpreter's like, yeah.
$4.5 million.
$4.5 million. Shohei Ohtani's interpreter gets caught in an illegal gambling ring as one of the clients doing sports gambling, which is illegal in the state of California, where Shohei and the interpreter live and work and have worked. Shohei Ohtani, new star for the Dodgers. Shohei Ohtani, who paid off, allegedly paid off $4.5 million. The interpreter's like, yeah, Shohei paid off my gambling debts, $4.5 million, which is suspicious. He's like, no, Shohei wasn't gambling. I was gambling. And we weren't gambling on baseball. We were gambling on basketball and football and soccer and college basketball and college football. And, I mean, who knows what else they were gambling on? Curling, ping pong, cricket, whatever, arena football. They're probably gambling on golf. I mean, they're gambling. This guy's gambling on several sports. And he's telling us, this interpreter, right? He goes, Shohei paid off my debts. And then all of a sudden, the lawyers get a hold of it and they go, no, that's illegal. Shohei can't be gambling in the state of California. He can't be paying money to an illegal bookie in the state of California, especially not millions of dollars. You stole the money from Shohei. And then he's like, oh, I guess I stole the money from Shohei, which is just a total disaster. Dodgers today fire the interpreter. When people went to ask questions to Shohei, they just kind of surrounded him and didn't let anybody ask him any questions, which is very suspicious. I don't know if I believe that Shohei is just paying off the debts because they're his buddy's debts and he's being a good guy. Or, you know, I'm wondering, and a lot of people are wondering, is this guy just placing bets for Shohei and Shohei's paying off his own debts? And, you know, if the guy, look, it's already a suspicious story because the guy is saying Shohei is paying this off. And then Shohei's people are like, no, he's not. You stole the money. So there's already a lie in the equation. So if there's one lie in the equation from somebody, you got to go, okay, how many other lies are in the equation? Is Shohei placing bets? Are they just betting on sports that are not baseball? Or are they perhaps also betting on baseball? Because once you start with one lie, you got to unravel and figure out, hey, maybe there's some other stuff going on. And as a Yankee fan, I couldn't be happier than to see the Dodgers completely unravel. They paid millions of dollars for this Yamamoto character to come over from Japan and pitch for them. The Yankees were in the running. It was between New York and L.A., and Yamamoto chose to go to L.A. And how did he do in his first start this morning? Yes, the baseball season has officially begun. They played two games in Korea yesterday and this morning, and I was awake to watch several innings of both games, and I saw Yamamoto pitch one inning of baseball and give up five runs in his first major league start, which was just a beautiful, disastrous day for the Los Angeles Dodgers, for Yamamoto, and for Shohei Ohtani. They're two new signees in the offseason. Dodgers spent $1 billion in the offseason signing all this talent. And what did they get? A gambling problem and a pitcher who gives up five runs in one inning and gets yanked. Nice job, yeah, Dodgers. I guess we won't see you in the World Series, motherfucker.
Put a girl in there. You'll see how much they win. Forget it.
All right. But this is a beautiful story. I love it so much. Yeah, John, you know what? The Yankees may have lost today, but it doesn't count because it was preseason baseball, and it doesn't really matter right now. The Dodgers lost today, and it actually counts because, you know, it was a regular season, so they're 1-1 on the year. And the Shohei story is not going to go away because it looks real bad. It looks real bad.
Fuck the Dodgers. Fuck the Yankees.
Hey, take it easy. I said fuck the Dodgers. Fuck the Dodgers is all right. And Angela wants to know any news on Gerrit Cole. Yeah, he's got swelling in his elbow, but it's not like a pull. It's swelling.
You shouldn't be laughing about pitchers that win a lot of money and don't perform, because Gerrit Cole might be winning a lot of money and not pitching.
Well, he's only supposed to be out for a month or two. He doesn't need surgery. He just needs rehab. He should be back by, we're thinking, June, you know, mid-June at the latest. And then if Gerrit Cole is back and everything's great.
By that time, you're what, like 8 games out of wild card? Or?
Yeah, I don't think so, Fred. Good luck pitching around the Yankees lineup. Good luck pitching around Juan Soto and Aaron Judge this year. It's going to be difficult for everybody in baseball. Two of the best hitters in baseball hitting back-to-back, like, come on. And the pitching is looking all right. Rodon has looked decent in spring training. He pitched 5 innings of no-hit ball the other day. 5-plus innings of no-hit ball. And you know who came to pull him from the game? Joe Torre in uniform, which was pretty sweet. It was a pretty beautiful Yankees moment. And, yeah, I'm very excited about the Yankees season. I'm still excited about the prospects. We haven't even begun. And the Dodgers are already in shambles. It's just fantastic. So great. Yeah, Snell signed with San Francisco. But Cole should be back in a month or two. And, you know, he won a Cy Young last year. So it's not like the Yankees are paying him for nothing. He has delivered. He's just hurt right now. And hopefully he'll be back and pitch the rest of the season and have a great year. Fingers crossed on Gerrit Cole, as he is one of the best players in baseball. He's incredible. Okay, enough baseball talk. Let's talk about the UFC settling their class action lawsuit. There was an antitrust lawsuit brought about by a bunch of people, a bunch of fighters suing the UFC, and they settled. They're not going to trial. They settled for $335 million. And people are saying it's a big victory for the UFC, because nothing really changes. They paid people off. It's a big lump sum, but it doesn't seem like in the judgment the UFC has to change any of their business practices, which were detailed in this lawsuit and seemed not great, to say the least, and seems like it'll go unchecked. Except for this fine, basically, that the UFC is going to have to pay for it at this point. No changes in the UFC, the way their contracts are structured. No Ali Act coming to MMA. Nothing like that.
I just say I'm surprised that I've only read a little bit about it. I'm surprised you say people think it's not a big amount. I thought when I read about it first, my impression was that it seemed like a decent amount. I don't know how much of that is going to go to legal fees and things like that, but they were saying it's for 1,200 fighters. And by my quick count, that's still like $300,000, $292,000 per fighter. But
minus,
let's see how much of that,
yeah,
minus legal fees. But I don't think lawyers are going to be taking $100 million. I don't know.
I don't know, man. This case has been going on for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, we never know. You know, I guess I haven't read about it enough, but $335 million is still a big number.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big number, but like the UFC wins in the end. I mean, originally it was supposed to be that $1 billion lawsuit.
Yeah.
You know, they settled for $335 million. I mean, that's for them is like a drop in the bucket, but you're right. At least like at all of those fighters, they'll be receiving anywhere between like $50,000 to $200,000 each, based on like, you know, that settlement. But like, you know, unfortunately, lawyers take a big portion of all that, you know.
And yeah, it just seems like the UFC, and they've got the money. You know, they're a $1 billion company, multi billions of dollars behind them. The TKO Group is just gigantic. It's WWE, it's UFC, it's everything. And they're just generating so much revenue that this $335 million is nothing compared to what could have happened had they not settled and gone to trial. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
The impact on the UFC's business could have been so big. And it could have been, you know, if they say, hey, UFC fighters aren't independent contractors, maybe WWE wrestlers aren't independent contractors anymore either, and then the WWE has to change the way they work their business. Like, it could have been really bad for TKO had it gone to trial and then they've been exposed. And, you know, it would have been a bigger story. This way, it's not a story really outside of the very hardcore MMA people. And they pay a big chunk of money, but really compared to what they would have had to pay long term, I think it's nothing. I think that they are probably celebrating this settlement. I don't think the UFC would have settled had they not thought that this was the best deal for them. I think they would have kept it going if they thought.
Yeah, but I would say the same thing. I would say the same thing for the fighters. They wouldn't have settled unless they, like, if they really believed they could have got $1 billion, they would have kept on going.
Unless they're told, hey guys, you could get nothing and we could keep fighting, or you could each get a check for $100,000 and you walk away with $100,000.
I mean, if the result was nothing, is that their case, if the potential result, like, I mean, if their case was strong, like they felt, I guess I haven't followed enough the.
But say their case is strong, right? Say they're fighting for changes to the sport. Most of these guys are retired fighters, so financially they're not going to benefit to the changes in the sport, right? So some of them might have gone like, well, I could keep fighting.
Were they fighting for changes in the sport, or were they just fighting for money?
No, it was for changes in the sport. They were. I mean, it was about their business practices. But the UFC said, "We're gonna just settle with the class action suit and give everybody a chunk of money."
And that's it, and you walk away. And then it doesn't change the model. Like, you know, the other organizations that are competing against the UFC, like the PFL and all that kind of stuff, you know, it hits hard because that was their opportunity to kind of, like, you know, be more competitive in a sense. But, you know, you walk away with the settlement, and that's it. You know, and you said it right, Dave. A lot of these guys are retired. The majority of them that are in the lawsuit are retired. You know, how much are they making, like, doing something outside of the UFC? Probably not $100,000. I don't know. Maybe some are. But, you know, somebody's going to give you a $50,000 or $100,000 check right now. You take it. You know?
Yeah. I don't. I would take a $100,000 check, $50,000, whatever check anybody wants to give me, I'll take it.
It's probably,
I mean, cash it for a while. But
a lot of these guys.
AJ, a lot of these guys gave me.
Cash
for a lot of these guys, it's probably more money than they've made in their UFC career. Like, a lot of these guys probably didn't make $200,000 in their UFC career.
Exactly. Yeah. So hopefully somebody's getting paid out of this, but I don't know. I don't think it's the result that people were hoping for. Speaking of the PFL, their founder, Don Davis, was on MMA Fighting telling them that they expect Francis Ngannou to be fighting MMA on pay-per-view in Saudi Arabia sometime this year, between July and September. So sometime in the summer, July,
they
September.
They got to get that going, man.
Something like that. I don't know. So, it seemed like maybe Ngannou was going to stay in boxing, but because everything went so poorly in his last boxing match, he is going to go to MMA and see how it goes there. So we'll be seeing Francis Ngannou hopefully by the end of this year, by this summer, in a few months.
Well, what did he say? Because I think I read a quote. I think I read a quote where he said he wanted to maybe try a third boxing fight.
Okay.
And he probably will, friend. You know what? I don't think it's the end of Ngannou's boxing career. I think it's just going to be like he's going to step into MMA. PFL needs him to be there. Ngannou has to come back and, like, be dominant in that sport. And then he'll go back to boxing. I guarantee you he'll have, like, a third fight with someone else. You know, maybe a rematch with Tyson Fury just because of the fact that he dropped him. But, you know, there's a lot of people talking that they're going to come back. I mean, there's even, like, you know, Conor, too, that's going to come back this summer. Apparently, it's, like, on the tables, and the negotiations are there, and he's coming back this summer, and he's pretty strong about that. I mean
summer is pretty soon, man.
We see them.
If Conor's going to fight this summer, they should announce it pretty soon, because, I mean, summer is, like, 3 months away.
Yeah, you're right. And I keep seeing, like, a lot of, like, news coming up, and that's what they're saying, is that they got to announce it now if he is fighting in the summer. But, you know, all to say is you never know with these guys. They talk about it, but how many years has Ngannou been with the PFL now? 3 years?
Yeah.
He still hasn't fought. Well, he has, but, you know, hopefully, haven't seen him fight in a couple of years.
Hopefully we see him fight for the PFL this year. I'd like to see him back in MMA. I'd like to see Conor back in MMA, but Dana White was on a Kamaru Usman, Henry Cejudo podcast saying he doesn't know when Conor's going to fight again and all of that. He also said Kamaru Usman is the greatest welterweight of all time. And I went, huh? What?
Hmm.
No, he isn't. It's George St. Pierre, man. Come on. It's ridiculous, Dana. Why is Dana? You know why Dana's saying that, right? Dana is saying that because Kamaru Usman did what he wants the greatest welterweight of all time to do. Be champion for a few years and then lose to somebody and stay around, which is not what George did. George was champion for many years, never lost, and then left on top. Dana doesn't like that. He doesn't like when you leave on top. He wants you to pass the torch. But that doesn't mean that George isn't the greatest welterweight of all time, because he is. You know, come on.
Agree. Ridiculous. Listen, I saw something else. So Walt Harris, man, I haven't heard his name in a while. Unfortunately, he had like a pretty rough, you know, personal life, you know, in the last years. But now he's suspended for 4 years for violating the UFC anti-doping policy. So Walt Harris is suspended for 4 years. And I don't know how old Walt Harris is, but I'm pretty sure that comes down to ending his career after 4 years.
Okay. Tomorrow night, we will be going to the Trifecta Jiu-Jitsu event. Looking forward to that. There will be teams. It is a tournament. Teams of three. One heavyweight, one lightweight, one female competitor, one male heavyweight, one male lightweight, one female competitor. And I think it's a certain weight category. I'm not sure exactly the weights, but it's, you know, one big guy, one little guy, one lady. And it's teams of three, and it's best two out of the three, team versus team. And then whoever wins that moves on to the next round, and it's tournament knockout format. And then there is a four-man tournament as well. And I think some super fights. There's all sorts of great jiu-jitsu going down tomorrow night, brought to you by the people that did the Quintet Montreal. And now here doing the Trifecta as part of the Quintet series. I think there's another Quintet coming up. Maybe in a month or two, but we will be going to the Trifecta show tomorrow. The Quintet was so much fun. We decided to go back for the Trifecta. So we'll be going to that tomorrow night. So there will be no episode of Wrestling Uncensored here on Ringside Report Network tomorrow night. Instead, because I'll be out, we will offer you an interview that I did with JF LeDuc, who was a professional wrestler by the name of Firestorm. You may know Firestorm. JF is now deep, and always has been, I think, in wrestling memorabilia collecting. He is a big-time collector. We talk about wrestling memorabilia, and he also has an event with the Nasty Boys. The Nasty Boys, Brian Nods Nasty and Jerry Boys. Sags, are coming to town. They're coming to Montreal on April 20th on 420. And I can tell you right now that I will be there. I will be with the Nasty Boys on 420 with JF LeDuc. So watch the interview tomorrow. That'll be dropping about 6:15 here on the channel on Friday instead of Wrestling Uncensored, because I'll be gone at the Jiu-Jitsu show. We'll be giving you an interview instead with JF LeDuc, telling you about the Nasty Boys. We'll talk about the Nasties. We'll talk about wrestling, collecting, and collecting in general. It'll be a good time tomorrow night here on Ringside Report Network. So definitely check that out. Always new, fresh content for you because of the members like Angelo Contagonis supporting the channel, like Lior supporting the channel. And no, Lior, I have not seen Roadhouse. Has anybody seen Roadhouse? The new Roadhouse?
I watched it this weekend.
Apparently it's on Prime. So thank you to Lior and to Angelo, who support over at join.ringsidereport.net and allow us to provide so much content here on the Ringside Report Network. Thank you, everybody, for joining us here. And again, tune in tomorrow night for the interview with JF LeDuc from Live Wrestling Auctions. Go check out their page as well, Live Wrestling Auctions. And Freddie and AJ and I will be back here next Thursday night, where we preview UFC Atlantic City in New Jersey, where AJ's favorite, Manon Fiorot, will be taking on who I believe is the future of the division, Aaron Blanchfield, in a killer main event. Blanchfield versus Fiorot next weekend, AJ. I'm hyped about that.
So am I, man. Can we do it all that? Wearing the belt.
We'll be doing all that next weekend. And Angela wants to know what I thought about Dynamite last night. I guess I could give you that real quick before we wrap up the show. I thought Dynamite was a very good show last night. I liked Edge and Christian's match there in the main event. I loved Okada beating Eddie Kingston. And I'm very happy because I told Johnny North that if Eddie Kingston beats Okada, I think I'm going to have to stop watching AEW forever. And of course, that didn't happen. Okada beat Eddie Kingston, beat him clean, hit him with the Rainmaker, pinned him 1-2-3. Commentary seemed surprised. I was not surprised. He hit Eddie Kingston with the Rainmaker. That shit's over. The Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada, is the new AEW Continental Champion, and I could not be happier. I love Okada. I love that we get to see Okada on a weekly basis. It's tremendous. Seeing Okada every week on AEW Dynamite is, like, it's incredible. The fact that they have Okada, Ospreay, Sasha Banks, Edge, Christian on their roster, it's a ridiculous time to be a wrestling fan. It's so great. AEW is so great. WWE is so great. Everybody is doing such great programming right now. It is incredible. If you are a wrestling fan, this is the time to be tuning in because pro wrestling is as good right now as it has been in many, many years. It is really, really high level pro wrestling. It's some of the best stuff we're seeing from The Rock every week. Cody is stepping up to another level. We've got Roman Reigns there. WWE is doing huge business going into WrestleMania 40, AEW signing huge stars and putting them on TV on a weekly basis and booking them correctly. Like, the pro wrestling business is so healthy right now. It is very, very exciting. So very, very exciting times in the pro wrestling.
That has been gone. It's gotten better.
Way better. Way better. Night and day.
Wow.
Yeah. We need it.
You won't be a
clear. It's very clear now that Vince needed to go in many, many, many different ways. And one of the ways is creatively, because Triple H has taken the company in a far better direction. They are much better off without Vince McMahon. Much better off. And, you know, at a certain point, he elevated the company and he created it and did what he did. But there was a certain point where I was like, all right, creatively, he just wasn't cutting it anymore. He wasn't there. And I'm glad that Triple H has picked up the ball and done a really good job. I'm enjoying it. I like it. I like pro wrestling. I like MMA. And that's what we have the Ringside Report Network. And that's why we are here every week for you. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you again real soon here on the Ringside Report Network. Thanks for sticking with us to the end. We would really appreciate it if you could help us spread the word. Please share this episode on whichever social media platform you use. Add a comment below and consider reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. We are an audience-supported network, so consider becoming a recurring supporter at membership.ringsidereport.net. Check out our website at ringsidereport.net. Hope to see you again next time and have a good night.